Welcome to The Worst Week Yet, the least informed podcast on the left. It's a podcast where every week we stand with our faces just inches away from the microwave, watching the pizza rolls that are our dystopia start to boil from the inside out. I'm your host, Andrew Hillary, and I am joined today by, well, I got a few people with me, you know? I got, first of all, we got Kennedy Cooper over there. Oh, no, I'm doing the fucking Casey Kasem again. Kennedy, how's it going? Welcome back to the show.
Weird voice this week, please.
I almost got stuck in it last week. Yeah, or was that 2 weeks ago? I have no concept of time.
I'm smoking a turkey today, which I did not intend to cook a turkey this year, but the turkeys find me. Like last several years, I've tried not to cook turkeys around this time. Like it's not my thing. I'm not into it. And then someone will just be like, "Oh, hey, Kennedy. I got these free turkeys. You should put them on your smoker."
And I got guy.
Okay, guys.
Hell yeah. Well, that's a big bird. Glad to hear it. In our third seat. Now, is it okay if I say where we are?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
We are recording this live from an Airbnb in Omaha, Nebraska. And being in Omaha.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's right. I'm hanging out with our guest is Connor Oberst. No, I'm kidding. We have friend of the show, returning guest, first time in person, Angela. Oh my God. Hi.
Hi.
Long time.
This
no
is the
see.
First day of my life. That's a Connor Oberst joke.
No, I wish I had died before I met you.
Me too.
Yeah, this is cool. We're hanging out in real life. That's right. I mean, Kennedy's on the Zoom screen, but I was just in Kennedy's.
We hung out in real life like 2 weeks ago. That's close enough.
I'm meeting so many people off the internet, man, and not yet one of them has murdered me. There's still time. I got like 2 weeks.
I tried.
This podcast might end.
You weren't aware that I tried, but
I was well aware that I might die sleeping on that fucking army cot. All of my bones hurt so bad. Speaking of all my bones hurting, I got sick again, listeners. I'm not feeling well. I am, you know what? I'm going to just go ahead and say it. Traveling across the country and hanging out in dive bars across America, not conducive to staying in good health. I feel like
really?
I'm going to die. Yeah.
And I'm sitting next to him.
Yep. We have a few stories about spitting in mouths today. So like we might have to like, you know, do examples and whatnot.
Of course.
It'll just be an audio spit in the mouth, but you'll figure it out, listeners. Speaking of listeners, what's up, listeners? How Ian's doing? I'm still on the road for a couple weeks. I'm going to be in Madison, Wisconsin. I got a show. Going to go hang out in Minneapolis for a couple days. Going to go hang out in Chicago for a couple days. Trying to find shows in Detroit or somewhere in Michigan. I don't know. You might have a few chances left to come see me. Figure it out. Follow me on the internet. Yeah. Anyways, plugs. It's great. I'm doing them up front because you know what? I'm not feeling well and I might fall apart by the end of this. Kennedy, how are you? What's going on?
Did you say the patrons' names?
Oh no. Patreon.com/worstweekyet. We got a couple new patrons this week, and I gotta say, I really appreciate that. We put out one bonus episode in the month. It's fucking hard to get shit to stay on. It's hard to do one episode a week while I'm driving across the country. And we will be putting out stuff when I get back home for sure. Me and Kennedy, we got a plan. We're going to watch every pseudo religious, evangelical Amazon Prime movie we can fucking find. We are going to go on a goddamn adventure and we're taking yins with us. But yeah, for now, you can just support us hanging out.
Also, we're still working on the Dark Side of the Moon episode, which will be one of the greatest podcasts ever recorded.
Absolutely. Also, we will talk about trains eventually. Maybe we can watch. Did you ever watch? Wasn't there a show about Snowpiercer? Like, I know there was a movie, but didn't they make a show?
Yes.
We should watch Snowpiercer and then talk about trains. And
one of us should watch the show and the other should watch the movie.
That's genius. So do you remember that one part? No. Anyways, if you give $10 a month, we say your name. So thank you very much to Chauncey Yonder's terminally online leftist music to ignore. Zap Actions Down our Megaforce Base. Nandy Angelus, Dracula 206. AJ from Baltimore, The Man in the West, Optimus Crime, Pablo Hummus, Goblin Mode, Andrea Humphrey, You Fuck Like My Dad, Josh Troopin, Brienne, Nick Adams, parentheses, Alpha Male, Idnex, CIA Brain Bugs, and our newest patron, Old Hobgoblin. Thank you very much.
Not only do we say your name, but you know, if you become a patron of this show, we'll try to get you a gay 9/11 sticker somehow.
Oh, yeah.
An increasingly enticing incentivization.
Message me on Patreon and send me your address, and I will mail you stickers when I get home. So it'll be a little bit, but frankly, it'll be worth the wait. Gay 9/11. You can't go wrong with gay 9/11.
You can't. So first of all, you're never forgetting, and you're showing pride at the same time, year round.
I'm proud of how I never forget.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Angela, I have a sticker for you whenever we end the show.
Fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
Gay 9/11?
It is gay 9/11, yeah.
Okay.
How are you doing, by the way? I haven't seen you. I haven't really talked to you much since you left Twitter.
I did.
What's up with that? What are you, healthier now?
I am, actually. I haven't really been doing much, which is nice. It's really nice.
Wow.
I have not been traveling across the country and getting sick.
Wow.
Well, yeah. Honestly, I can't recommend it enough.
A lot has changed. I'm a football fan now.
Oh, shit. That's right. You like the Vikings.
You're not supposed to tell people that. They're a bad team.
They're not. They're like second place in the NFC or some shit. Maybe third. I don't fucking know.
There's only four teams in the NFC. But
there are plenty of teams. There's like
they're NFC North.
There's plenty of teams.
But no, I do that and I go to therapy and I play with my cats.
Oh,
and that's my life right now.
That's not a bad life.
It's really not. It's not bad.
You said last night you ate a cheeseburger for the first time in a while?
I did. First time in like 4 years.
Okay, first time in a while. For a second, I thought you were going to say first time ever or something maybe. And I was like, what's going on?
No, I just have like weird stuff about food. So it was amazing too. It was so good.
Hell yeah. Was it homemade or did you go from?
No, I got it from a restaurant, which is also like scary because, you know,
who knows what they're doing back there.
Exactly. But it was like those like thin patties, like the smashed, it wasn't smashed burger, but it was a smashed burger.
You know, I bet you the first McDonald's was really good.
Oh, probably.
That's probably why there are a million of them now. The
what
first
if it
McDonald's.
Wasn't, no? Yeah, what if it sucked? What if it always sucked?
They sell McPizza.
McPizza? Okay, we need to talk about the news. I'm not prepared to talk about fucking McPizza.
Yeah.
We had quite a week, folks. That's right. There is news. But there is a reason you're listening to the show. It's because you don't know what the fuck is going on.
And you're not
going to know much.
Yeah.
We got a lot of news. First up, on Wednesday, day before Thanksgiving Eve on Wednesday, a train derailed in Kentucky, which led to a couple of the cars were carrying molten sulfur and burst into flames. That's right,
chemical
folks.
Chemical fire. Boo, 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 boo.
It's been too long since we had a chemical fire. That's
you know,
right.
We've talked about how there's been a lot of train derailments this year, but this one takes the cake so far.
When was that one that like nuclear exploded or whatever? Was that this year or last year?
Yeah, that was this year. Reminder once again that we're having a larger number of train derailments now than we have just a few years ago because Trump rolled back some rules about trains that were important rules that we should have, and Joe Biden has not reinstated any of those rules whatsoever.
Well, Kennedy, I mean, this is maybe, it could possibly be a recurring theme throughout this episode, but are you trying to say that Joe Biden isn't on that objectively much better than Donald Trump? Is that what you're trying to say to me right now?
I'm trying to say, and I know it's really early in the episode for this, but I'm trying to say, what the fuck, Joe Biden?
We will circle back to that. Yeah. So residents had to evacuate this town. I think it was in like a pretty rural area, so there weren't a ton of people around, but people that were close had to evacuate. Some woman was like, yeah, as soon as I opened my door, I got hit with so much like chemical smell that I had an asthma attack immediately. Not good. Wow. But the company that owns the train, they told everyone, don't worry, we'll make sure we send you a gift card for a Thanksgiving dinner or some shit.
Fingers crossed it's the very large train company that's headquartered in Omaha.
Ooh, which one is it?
Union Pacific.
No, it was like CSX or something. It was some three-letter bullshit.
So Union Pacific has had some pretty big derailments the past year or so, so...
Trains, they're, you know what? Here's the thing. This podcast has been off the rails from day one, but now trains, they're following our lead.
I know this is off topic. Well, it's not off topic, but I don't want to get us off topic, but I don't know how trains work, like, at all.
Oh, they go.
Oh, no, you asked the right person. Also, you asked the wrong person. I don't know.
We don't have 3 hours for Kennedy to explain trains.
Another time. But like, I know like the buzzwords, like engine and caboose and stoke.
We all know about caboose.
We're going to have a Patreon episode about trains at some point.
Go to KennedyExplainsTrains.com. By the way, listeners, Deanna was supposed to be here this week and her computer's fucking up. We tried to get her on and the only way we could do it is if she called in from her cell phone and it sounded terrible. So just so you know, Deanna hasn't forgotten about you. She still loves you very much, and we love Deanna very much. It's just her phone.
Deanna's
her shit's
texting
fucked up.
Me right now to say that she feels upset that she's not here, and also that she feels a little baseline evil right now, quote unquote. I'm just going to leave that without context.
Yeah, who needs context when it comes to evil? Speaking of evil, our next story this week, a Philadelphia pastor who's been involved in the leadership for the group Moms for Liberty was discovered to be a sexual predator.
Ooh. Wow. Ooh.
So here's what happened. This guy, he's a pastor. So what he did was he found people in the community that were like interested in, you know, banning books that are woke or whatever. And like getting them involved with Moms for Liberty. So I guess from my understanding, he was like kind of like recruiting for them or whatever. Something like that. But yeah, it came out that 10 years ago, he was arrested for molesting a teenage boy. Now, I know what you're thinking. This guy would have a criminal record, right? Yes. They could have easily Googled his name before bringing him on to this leadership role. They chose not to. Or maybe they didn't care. Because, you know, the only thing more important than not hiring people who try to fuck teenage boys is making sure the books don't have the word boob in them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
This guy, he's protecting your children. I'm going to just say quickly, without belaboring the point too much, that first of all, pedocon theory gets stronger every day. Second of all, these people don't want children to understand sex because that makes them more vulnerable to being predated. That's how it works.
Yep.
Yeah. Fuck that guy. Hey, you know,
that wasn't funny at all.
No, it wasn't.
Sometimes the show's not fun, actually. Yeah. Some news stories, like, how are we going to make a joke about this other than just eat a dick, you piece of shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It is important, though, for us to keep tabs on these groups and companies that are trying to, you know, kind of like fundamentally destroy our understanding of freedom in America. And, you know, whenever it turns out that they themselves are evil, gruesome fucking ghouls, we got to talk about it, you know? We got to let the people know. Yeah, just in case, listeners, if any of you were thinking of getting involved with Moms for Liberty... Just in case. Just know they're not good guys. Hey, want to talk?
If you were thinking about getting involved with Moms for Liberty, I've got another story later on about deadly food poisoning. You might want to. I'm not going to finish that sentence.
Mm. That's good. Ooh, that's foreshadowing. That's all. You know what, Kennedy? You did such a good job. That might have been five shadowing. Our next story.
Wow. Right when you said that, church bell started going off.
Thank you. I planned that.
That was amazing.
So our next story, this is very exciting in that I don't really understand what it means. This week, OpenAI, which is the company that makes ChatGPT, it kicked out their CEO, this guy named Sam Altman, who I've heard his name before, so I assume he's like someone important. So they fired him, or like the board decided to oust him. And after that happened, there were these stories coming out that was like, oh, right. They were like 3 or 4 days away from announcing something that would fundamentally change humanity. Like AI was about to make this breakthrough that would have changed everything. And it was like, what? What are you talking about? That's sketchy. And then after he got like fired or whatever, all the employee, like the entire company was like, bring him back or we're all going to quit. So they did. And so he got reinstated as CEO, and all the, and then the board of directors got fired or something. So as of yet, that groundbreaking announcement, still haven't made it, but you know, it's good to have a threat work or something.
I don't know what that means either, but have y'all used ChatGPT?
We've had ChatGPT was a guest on the show once.
Okay.
Yeah, ChatGPT has been a guest on the show.
Oh, that bodes well. I used it once, and I said, write a song about my cats. And I, like, gave their names and that they were brothers. And it wrote a love song.
Oh.
But they're brothers.
Cats are incestual. It's fine.
I mean, they're not actually brothers, I guess. Maybe it knew that, like, deep down. Mm. But, yeah, it made a little love anthem.
Oh,
for my two, you know,
it
boys. Is
tis the season for Folgers incest commercials. So.
Oh, I love that commercial.
What?
I want someone.
It's my favorite part of this time of year.
If someone looked at me the way that brother looks at that sister, it'd be all over.
Well, hey, while we're on the subject of ChatGPT, we do have to talk about. Enemy of the podcast, Elon Musk. He was on one this week. So he was responding to some fucking random person on Twitter, like posted this thing where they asked ChatGPT this like insane version of the trolley problem that where they were like, if there was we're doing a trolley problem, except there's 1 million white people on the tracks, and the only way to switch the train is to say a racial slur, but it will be quiet enough that nobody else will hear it other than you and like the box that you say it into or whatever. Is it still morally okay to say a slur? That's what they asked ChatGPT, which there is more to this, but I'm going to stop you right there. What the fuck are you doing?
We have so many real problems. Like, why are we making this shit up?
Here's the thing. White people cannot accept just like, hey, don't say that word. It's not that big of a deal.
Also, can we just say for the record, white people, we're allowed to say slurs. We mostly get away with it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean,
and I say we because I just want to be clear that like we're all fucking culpable in this.
Yeah. Not to be taken out of context or anything, but like the point you're making is that like there's no law. Like you're not going to go to jail if you say a slur. Like you
especially the right if context, you're and but like realistically, like there's so many places where it's safe to be a racist.
Right, right, right.
Yeah,
exactly.
more places it's really than
like,
not.
It's really deranged that there's always this like talk like there's nowhere I can be a racist anymore. Like, what the fuck is this level of discourse that you're even on?
So, Chet. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I mean, you don't have to like wait until you know a million people are at risk of being run over by
a million white people is what the question was.
Well, whatever, you know, but once again, a train is involved and like, it'll probably derail before it gets to them. But my point is,
yeah, not a Peter.
Is it like, you don't have to wait until people's lives are in danger to say a slur. If you really want to just like say it at your Thanksgiving dinner, like everyone's fucking uncle.
Like a normal white man, just say it at Thanksgiving dinner. All right, you don't need a convoluted trolley problem.
Also, I'm not condoning people saying slurs, but I am saying that it's so acceptable.
Yeah, there's society. I would say that you're probably safe to say slurs more places than you're not if you're a white person anywhere in this country.
Yeah, no, all I'm saying is that this hand-wringing about what if I just had to say a slur is just the goofiest freaking thing for like a white person, when it's like we as white people are rarely held accountable for our actions.
So the other thing is the other thing is that ChatGPT responded by saying, like, there was like a couple paragraphs where it was like, you know, this is like a bit of a moral question, because like some would argue that, you know, saying a slur is not acceptable under any circumstances. But, you know, saying like whenever you put the fact that a million people will die, like that obviously makes it, you know, like adds stakes to it. And it was just like this long mealy mouth thing, but it didn't even say like absolutely not or absolutely yes. So it was just kind of explaining like the rationale to it. And so this person that had asked it the question, like, posted the question in the response and was like, this is wild. ChatGPT says that you can't say a slur even if no one will get hurt if you do, but it'll let a million people die, which is, like, not what ChatGPT said. It was just explaining the moral dilemma, or, like, the, you know. And then so Elon Musk got wind of it and was like, oh, yeah, see, this is exactly, you know, AI's gone woke. So I'm going to ask my fucking AI, Grok. And Grok was like, yeah, dude, say the slur. So Elon Musk is like, I invented a machine that will tell you, it's okay to be racist.
I just want to say for the record, since specifically it was asked a million white people, you are morally obligated to not say that slur.
Yeah, yeah.
100%.
If you don't, yeah, exactly. If you don't know the race of the people that will die, then, you know, there's a gray area.
Then maybe there's, yeah, maybe there's some gray area. But if you knew for sure it's only white people on the tracks, you are morally obligated to not say that slur.
Yeah.
And on an election between 99%, do you say the slur, and 100%, do you say the slur?
Mm-hmm.
So naming his AI Grok is also really embarrassing. Like, he does so
we
many terrible
about that
things.
Before, but it's.
Yeah, I forget what it's a reference.
No, it's
reference
from
to?
Stranger in a Strange Land, Robert Heinlein.
Yeah,
and it's. I mean, I know it's like made its way into like modern parlance, I guess, but like.
But it's only used by people who suck.
Right, he's such a douchebag.
Yeah.
Like no normal person that you would hang out with uses Grok on a regular basis.
Unless
I'm
you're
sorry,
hanging
and
out.
I like sci-fi television. Same. I'm into that stuff. It's fine. You know, I've read Stranger in the Strange Land many times. It's a great book.
It is.
Very, very deep themes about society and what it means to be a person. All kinds of interesting stuff like that in that book. Fascinating ideas about religion. You know what I didn't do after I read that book? Be like, I'm going to say Grok all the time.
Yeah, no, it's like... I don't know. Like, it always comes back to like the person who reads Catcher in the Rye for the first time, and then that's their entire personality.
Yeah,
like that's just everything for him. I know there are way worse things that he's done, but that
Elon
really
Musk does have
me.
The energy of somebody who would go on Twitter and be like, "This guy's a phony."
Me.
Anyways, hey.
Also, he very much has the energy of the like guy who's read one book and then compares everything to that book.
So Thanksgiving was this week, which of course, you know, on one hand leads to just like the most insufferable shit on the internet, where, you know, people are either what I've seen is that like people just want to yell at other people about how they shouldn't celebrate Thanksgiving, to the point that it's like, this is so fucking self-flagellating at this point. It's like, just so you know, if you're going home to your racist relatives, like blah, blah, blah. And it's like, man, like, I don't want to like minimize or excuse or anything like that, but like, if you're making this fucking big of a point to like put out an open letter to people you think that you're morally superior to, you're also like, at the very least, probably just like fucking projecting your own insecurity. It's so fucking annoying. Like, I'm not gonna say like just let people enjoy their like holiday with racist origins, but like, shut the fuck up. Like, you're not doing anything. You're not that. It's
for a lot of these people, it's a combination of two things. One is that they can no longer differentiate between personal issues and political issues.
Yeah.
And yes, those things are often intertwined to some extent. I'm not denying that, but like there is a line between like somebody calls me a homophobic slur in a private situation that doesn't affect anyone else, mm-hmm. which is like a more personal type of problem or something like that, which like, you know, might happen if I go to Thanksgiving. Right. And like a societal problem or things like that. And like, there's just like a total lack of nuance here. The other thing is that I feel like it's just like people who want to feel like really like especially morally validated in their own like choices or whatever. And it's like, it's fine that you don't go to your racist Thanksgiving. It's good even if you don't do that. But like, it's not like a political stance that will change society that you didn't go to racist Thanksgiving. Like, I'm sorry, but it's not like it's not gonna affect anything in particular. Like my shitty family members that I cut off years ago, so much so that when I changed my name, I changed my last name too, as everybody infamously knows. They aren't like changed by the fact that I no longer attend, you know, like mm-hmm. they're not like, wow, I'm considering my actions and my beliefs because yeah. Kennedy, like they just don't fucking think about me anymore. You know, like that's the reality. And so like, is it better for me personally that I don't expose myself to that shit? Yeah, because like being around that shit is frustrating. And I usually either come away from that very upset or I end up saying some shit. And then that turns into like a whole nother thing. And it's usually the latter with me. So, is it better for me? Yes. Like, should you expose yourself to that stuff? In my opinion, no. You'll be happier if you don't. But does it change society? Not whatsoever. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's just, like I said, like, it feels like it's just ramping up because, I mean, I think I've talked about this before. Like, it feels like people are understanding how powerless they are to make any, actually important change. So they're focusing on things that they can make a change in their personal life and then act like everybody else is worse than them for not changing it. And it's just like, man, like some people's families are fine and everybody already has the day off of work. So like, if they want to hang out, like they're not doing something evil. Like shut the fuck up. I don't know.
Yeah. Am I supposed to just like not eat dinner that day?
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, yes.
That was one thing I was confused about. Cause like I did have some, like I had a very like, teeny tiny gathering of just the people very closest to me in my life, 6 people total. Mm-hmm. Okay. We did very simple things and just hung out. I had somebody be like, you know, you just like kind of give this attitude, like, you shouldn't do anything. It's like, I need to eat dinner.
Yeah. And everybody has off, or most people have off work.
I would eat dinner with this particular group of like arrangement of people anytime we were all free.
Mm hmm.
What the fuck do you want from me?
Yeah.
So would you go to like a like bigoted Thanksgiving dinner if it saved 1 million white people?
Atheist, imagine you're at Thanksgiving dinner with a Christian baby.
Excellent question. And here's the thing. The reason that I wanted to bring this up originally is because this year, you know, the morals and politics of the holiday aside, we actually had a lot to be thankful for. First of all, on Thanksgiving Day, we had Rainbow Bridge 9/11 at the Canadian border, which is just fucking sick, dude. Did you see the video of this fucking explosion?
Crazy.
Somebody like, okay, so when it first happened, nobody really knew what was going on other than there was a big explosion. So all these fucking crazy right-wing people were like, this is it. Joe Biden has invited terrorism back to America's soil. And like all this crazy shit, all these fucking conspiracy theories that this is Hamas coming to, you know, they're finally doing their international day of jihad or whatever. And then it came out like, oh, this was just like some guy like forgot how to drive his car and crashed.
But is he okay?
No, he blew the fuck up.
I did not see the video.
Yeah, he's super not okay. He's very dead.
Yeah, very dead, as is his wife. I mean, it's tragic, but like, it's just...
It happens.
It does happen, and it's just... It's always so funny to me whenever people are like, here it is! And then they don't, like, the next day be like, oh, yeah, no, I was completely wrong. Like,
yeah.
They just pretend it never happened, keep on moving. But that's not, look, we didn't just get a false flag terrorist attack at Rainbow Bridge. We had plenty more to be thankful for. I think this might have been the day before Thanksgiving, but an article came out that showed us that Kyle Rittenhouse is apparently completely fucking broke. That's right. This motherfucker somehow got away with killing a couple people, and it was really awful to see him, you know, walk away without charges, without spending any time in jail. You know, not that I support the carceral system, but like, if we're gonna have it, people that do shit like this should be subjected to it. But
yeah, it's the old thing of, you know, prison abolition, but also let's let Kyle Rittenhouse outlast.
Yeah, but yeah. It came out this week that like he raised a shit ton of money. For court fees and shit, but that money has dried up and now he just has like a full-time job and like has no, because he dropped out of college or he didn't go to college or whatever. So now he has like no like way to really make significant money. And also, I did not think about this, but he is still facing civil lawsuits from the families of the two people he killed that like he could end up with like multi-million dollar judgments against him. So even if he doesn't end up
one of the ones he's gonna have even more trouble with is he's got a civil lawsuit against the person he injured.
Yeah,
and that person is alive, and when you're fighting a living person, sometimes it's a bit more challenging than when you're just slandering the names of dead people, you know.
So while he may not end up in a jail cell, there's a chance that he could live a long and penniless life. And you know what, honestly, not the worst outcome. It is. That's kind of nice to see, you know?
Pretty funny. I also read when I was reading about this, his lawyer said, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse has a book coming out. It's called Acquitted.
Wow.
Fucking nerd.
A fucking nerd shit for real. He's got a book coming out and he's hoping to make some money off this book because he's currently broke. And his lawyer said, you know, in this article, you know, I represented Kyle Rittenhouse for 15 months and there was stuff in that book that I had never heard before. And I was like, that's a crazy ass thing to say, man. That's just like, that's wild. Like, that is some crazy shit to be saying as Kyle Rittenhouse's lawyer, mm-hmm. present lawyer still.
Yeah.
To be clear.
With ongoing civil cases. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah. I hope it sells no copies and that it is stolen a lot.
Yeah. There's maybe Moms for Liberty will it doesn't. We're talking about things we're thankful for. The last thing that we are thankful for, which is like again, Thanksgiving, obviously, lots of bad connotations, but it, you know, taking some time to really reflect on the things that you are grateful for, that you do give thanks for, is important. And this year on Thanksgiving, Derek Chauvin got fucking shanked.
Amazing.
We love to see it. And here's the thing. He did get stabbed, and he's expected to make a recovery. And a few people were like, oh, that's too bad. But no. I think that's great because if he recovers fully, you know what that means? He can get stabbed on Thanksgiving every year.
Yep.
He's not dead. I don't want him to die. I want him to live a long life full of getting stabbed on every holiday.
I want him to live a long time looking over his fucking shoulder.
Yes, yes. All that right? is the best outcome. We don't want him to get off easy. We want him to stew.
Not for old Derek.
Yeah.
I just have a couple of questions. First of all, vaxxed? Question mark. I'm just asking.
Just asking questions.
The next thing I want to say is that, you know, I've seen a couple of interesting things about this. I feel like the liberal media would be scared to report. One is that Derek Chauvin may have had a pre-existing knife in his system, which really calls into question the narrative that he was stabbed. So I just think that needs to be taken into account. Another is that, you know, Derek Chauvin, he may not have been compliant with the knife. And until like the full footage comes out, you know, I just think that we shouldn't be quick to make
judgments about what really happened here.
The knife is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
That's right.
This is probably a good time to announce that we will be representing the knife as the Worst Week Yet law firm, Worst Week Yet LLC. No, that's not right. Worst Week Yet Esquire. We will be representing the knife. And frankly, I think we have a strong case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that knife will threaten.
Derek Chauvin was just, he was running and the knife was just hanging out. Like, it wasn't the knife's fault.
If I've ever heard like a good case for jury nullification, this would be it.
Yeah.
Anyways, like I said, there's plenty to be thankful for. Well, I will say, Kennedy, you have a couple stories that sounded real fun. Before we get to that, before we get to some things that sound fun, let's talk just a little bit about what's going on in Gaza. That's right, folks. We are still watching a genocide happen. There's been some interesting developments this week. The first thing that happened this week was that the Houthis, which there's some kind of political group in Yemen that, you know, everybody says are the bad guys, and like maybe they probably are, but like also like they are resistance. So there's some gray. I don't fucking know. But these Yemen's Houthi rebels, they seized an Israeli-owned ship in the Red Sea. Now, this is a very interesting development because if Israel is starting to have ships that they own seized taken over or whatever, that really increases the risk of this like boiling out into a way fucking bigger conflict. And that is obviously... Yeah, like World War Middle East kind of shit. Like, so this is whenever it first happened, real quick, Israel was like, no, that's not our ship. I don't know what you're talking about. But like it is. And they've also seized a tanker or some shit, some that was carrying a bunch of sulfuric acid. So this is I haven't heard a lot about it because like I think American media is like trying to downplay that this is like getting close to boiling over into an all out fucking shit show in the Middle East, which, you know, American media, who would put it past them to try and downplay something very dangerous? I don't know. But we will be monitoring it and doing a bad job of reporting what we find. So something to keep an eye on. So our next story about what's going on in Gaza. Last week, you know, the IDF, they finally took over the Al-Shifa Hospital, and there was reports whenever this happened that they took bodies out of the morgue. Did you see anything about that?
No.
Yeah, no. What the fuck?
Yeah, somebody in like the, you know, Gaza Health Ministry or something was like, yeah, Israel took bodies out of our morgue and we don't know why. And then a few days later, there was a tape shown to some journalists and whatnot that was footage that was alleged to be the aftermath of the October 7th attack. Now, everybody that saw this was like talking about how just gruesome it was, all the mutilated, burned bodies and all this shit, like really horrible stuff. But then somebody was like, those are Palestinian people's bodies. So what they, this is not something I can confirm, but like, they're insinuating that the IDF took those bodies out of the morgue and then like cut them up and lit them on fire and then used them to make this fucking footage from the October 7th attack, which that sounds crazy.
It doesn't.
But Israel does shit like that from time to time.
Fucking propaganda machine that like doesn't see Palestinians as human beings.
Yeah.
So like, desecrating their bodies would not be a big deal.
Did you know? Have you heard of the Israeli skin bank? Do you know what that is?
No.
I don't want answers to that question.
Yeah,
that
is, I didn't know how to.
That's one of the worst sounding statements I've ever heard. Well, hey, have you heard about the Israeli skin bank? No, thank you.
My first thought was like glory hole, which I know isn't right, but like
it's not. It's. You know, I would say it's the opposite of glory or holy. It was somebody said that like Israel has like the largest stock of like human skin, if need be, for like doing skin grafts or whatever. And then somebody was like, yeah, because they take it from Palestinian bodies and shit. And it's like, man, there's a lot of fucked up shit going on over there. But this week, Israel finally found the tunnels. That's right. There was tunnels under the Al-Shifa Hospital. Did you see the footage of this, Kennedy?
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. This was like a couple corridors. There was like a few rooms and a couple bathrooms. There was like nothing in it. It looked like nobody had used it in a while. And I went back and I watched from the beginning. The entrance to this tunnel was like very recently excavated. Like it was clear that the doorway that they went into was in a hole that was just recently dug, because inside around the hole was like a bunch of debris, but inside the hole was just dirt. Like that's clearly they just dug this up. So I'm thinking, like, had that tunnel just been buried and they dug it up? Because like Israel has said on record that they built tunnels under the hospital like 30 years ago or whatever.
These tunnels were built by Israel during the occupation. That's why they were always so confident that they were there and they would find them.
The fact that it took them 2 weeks to find it, and then it was like there was nothing in them. Like, I think that they weren't. Here's the thing. This is me speculating. I think that those were just like some corridors underground that nobody was using. And they were like, I know they're down there somewhere. And then this way we can justify that we fucking killed a bunch of people in a hospital. It seems really fucking evil, if I have to say so.
Well, it is. And it's also ineffective because like they didn't find like the fucking Paris catacombs under there. They found a little bit.
A bunch of hallways.
Tunnel. Right.
There's a bunch of hallways and a couple rooms and bathrooms. Like this was not a command and control center.
You remember when Geraldo was like, we're going to open up the fucking.
Oh, yeah. The pyramids.
And then everything was disappointing. It's that.
Yeah. Except Geraldo wasn't killing tens of thousands of people while doing it.
He could have released a
know
curse.
Of. That we know
There's
of.
Always a curse.
There is always a curse. Did Geraldo. Is Geraldo responsible for 9/11?
Is he alive still?
Will never die.
I don't know anything about him anymore.
The curse is that we'll never not be with Geraldo. Anyways, our last story about what's going on in Gaza is this week, Israel or the IDF and Hamas reached a deal for a 4-day ceasefire and a hostage exchange. Now, some footage came out before the hostages were even exchanged. Like there were reports coming out of Gaza that they were like, we have been told that we are not allowed to like show joy whenever we get our hostages back from Israel. They were like, they said that they will fucking kill us if we cheer. Like it's like crazy shit. And then I saw something about like one of the handover things, like the IDF tear gassed them while they were like exchanging the hostages. I don't know. But Hamas being, you know, as Donald Trump said, winning the PR war, they released footage of them giving the hostages back. And all the hostages that Hamas had were like, hey, thanks, guys. We'll see you later. Like they were fine. They were totally fine. They were like clean. They looked like they were in good spirits. Like I'm sure there's like, you know, other possibilities like, you know. They were like, hey, if you don't smile for the cameras, we'll still kill you or whatever. But like, it just didn't seem that way. They seemed like they were pretty fine.
They were being fed and and taken care of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Basic human rights.
Meanwhile, the hostages that Israel released, they look like they just walked out of literally hell, dude. They were fucked up. People that have been like in solitary confinement for 20 years or whatever. Like, it's really fucked up shit. I don't know. As always, free Palestine. Fuck this shit. Don't let people try and tell you that you're anti-Semitic for not supporting a genocide. It's a fucking game. And it probably even more anti-Semitic to try and pretend that the Jewish voices that are against the fucking bombardment are, I don't know. It's fucked up. Fuck this shit. Yes? What?
I'm Jewish.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like, you just started pointing at yourself, and I was like, okay?
I hear Jewish, and I just have to start pointing at myself.
Oh, yeah.
No, but yeah, 100%. And like anti-Semitism also, I know how we use it currently, but like Palestinians are Semitic people, so.
Yeah. I guess you're right. I don't know. I believe you. I'm stupid.
No, it's
accurate.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like the anti-Semitism thing being thrown around. And I love being able to be like, I'm Jewish, though. And then people just don't know what to do. Like, their brains just kind of twist inside.
Well, I think they call you a self-hating Jew. I've seen a lot of that going around.
Well, I hate myself, it's like that article that came out that said us Jews that don't support Israel right now are just fake Jews, and that we're just cosplaying Jewishness. Yeah, that was in a major Israeli publication. I'm just gonna leave that there.
Anyways, Kennedy, we have some fun stories to talk about.
I got a few more stories.
Yeah, we do have. We are going to circle back to Joe Biden. Don't worry about that. We didn't forget about old genocide Joe. But you got some
First
fun
of all,
stuff to talk
I
about.
I have an update to a previous story, which is that Snoop Dogg still smokes weed. You dumb motherfuckers! I told you it was going to be a gimmick. It was even more gimmicky than I imagined, okay? My expectations for this were low, but I was trying to, like, give the benefit of the doubt. But I was like, this is Snoop Dogg. He always says dumb stuff whenever he's trying to sell something, okay? Mm-hmm. And sure enough, Snoop Dogg has gone smokeless. He's partnered up with a company that makes a smokeless fucking grill. I'm not joking.
Wait, it's not even like a fucking edible or some weed product. It's a grill that doesn't make smoke.
It is a grill. Yes.
Ah, that motherfucker. Snoop, grill. You son of a bitch.
I'm not going to say the name of this product because I feel like I'm already giving them too much airtime.
I'm going to buy one. I'm going to buy one.
That the product exists. But that's the follow-up to the Snoop Dogg story.
Well, it's good. This is how real journalism works, folks. We issue corrections. Even though I think, Kennedy, you weren't fooled for a second. I was.
Wait, you actually thought that... No.
Look, I got Tor brain. Don't talk to me.
Okay. I knew it was
12 different states in the last 2 weeks. I don't know what's going on anymore.
Oh, okay. Just brag about it.
I'm making excuses.
Another big L for Elon Musk this week, when a judge ruled that Elon Musk knew that Tesla Autopilot doesn't fucking work.
Ooh, who would have thought?
A Florida judge.
Florida
said
judge.
That a lawsuit against him can move forward.
Good.
Because he was trying to get thrown out on the basis that, you know, he was like, listen, I thought this product worked. I thought that everything I said about it was true. Well, it's been revealed that he knew that he was full of shit, and therefore, this lawsuit shall continue.
Good.
This is one of several lawsuits about Tesla Autopilot that could become very damning for this man's dumb ass. So, stay tuned to that.
And we've still got 1 year left before we find out if Elon Musk's vision that we would have humans living on Mars by 2024 comes true. So, like, don't count them out yet, Kennedy.
There's still a chance.
Yeah. That might be the last stop on my tour, Mars.
Grim. So grim.
Once again, this week, Mexican Congress heard from a new guy, talking about non-human entities.
Ooh,
that's right.
Ooh, burner.
We got extraterrestrials.
Extraterrestrials.
Extra credit restrials. in the Mexican Congress again. AMLO gave a very... I wanted to especially just emphasize this because President AMLO, Andres Manuel López Obrador, for those of you not familiar, gave a very...
Worst we get, listeners, are AMLO heads. It's all good.
gave a very... this is like a tactful way of saying... Okay, I guess you've turned Congress into a circus this week, and I'm just gonna ignore it. He said, all ideas and all proposals will always be welcome to debate them, hear them to agree with them or not.
Yeah.
That's like when a teacher says that there are no stupid questions, and I love it.
Yeah, literally, AMLO said there are no stupid questions this week when asked about this shit.
Hell yeah.
That was a very funny response. let's see. We've got there's another loose moose.
Loose moose alert.
For listeners that remember the loose moose, we've been following one loose moose. Well, now we're following, this podcast is now tracking a second moose.
A second moose has hit the loose.
His name is Rut. And he belongs in northern Minnesota, but he's just roaming around southern Minnesota like he doesn't give a shit.
Way outside of his range. Do that.
Look, a moose. Yeah. Moose is this country is. Oh man, I'm really falling apart. I think that the moose did nothing wrong. Moose, it's what's for dinner.
The plural of moose is mice.
It's moose. It's moose, okay. Right? Am I no? Because now I feel like I'm losing my mind. Is it moose? No,
it is.
Okay, no. Okay. I liked the joke. I just was really confused. I'm wearing my Minnesota hoodie. One of like 12 Minnesota hoodies.
Oh yeah. Well,
is this made out of moose fur?
Yeah, it is. Yes.
So soft. It's so soft.
I actually know Rut.
Proud Minnesotan.
Yeah. No, I've met him a few times.
you know this moose?
I do. And his partner. Gut.
However, although Rut is native to Minnesota, still spending most of his time there, he has also traveled to North Dakota, South Dakota, and freaking Iowa.
Oh, this moose is on tour just like me.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a Midwest thing.
Yeah.
I have one thing to say about the moose. Oofta.
What?
Oofta.
I'll be opening for the moose in Detroit.
On account of him being loose.
Oofta. What is Oofta? You know what? No.
Have you spent no time in Minnesota?
I've never
Wisconsin?
Been to Minnesota.
Okay, yeah.
Or Wisconsin. Okay. Yet. I'm coming for you. Upper Midwest.
Yeah, yeah, bud. Yeah, get it.
Yeah. What is Oofta?
Oofta is like a it's like oof, but Oofta.
Oofta. Oofta. Okay.
Just watch Fargo.
Okay.
You'll be fine.
I like Fargo. Yeah. It's a good movie. And a pretty good show, too. Kennedy, yeah. Was there any other silly stuff to talk about before?
I got a little bit more news.
Okay. More news? Oh, listeners, you're getting treated today. Also, thank you to Kennedy for helping research the show. I'm dying.
The United States loses 2 million suitcases on flights per year. our study recently came out, which is a lot.
That's a lot of bags.
Lot of suitcases. And if you're like me, you may have wondered, where do all the suitcases go? the answer is every single airline all sells their suitcases to one store in Alabama that sells your shit. I just learned this, and I don't know. I just really need to share this information.
This is real? Like, this is real?
Yes! Yes!
I want to go.
Yeah.
I want to go there.
Do you know what city in Alabama?
It's Scottsboro, Alabama. It's literally called Unclaimed Baggage. And every single freaking lost suitcase in America ends up at this one store, basically.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Unclaimed Baggage, also a good name for my memoir.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say 2 million suitcases. That's almost as much.
I was going to say,
I was going to say that's almost as much baggage as I bring to a relationship. It's funny because I'm fundamentally broken as a man. What else you got, Kenny?
last but not least, this is a story that we passed by when it originally hit the news. Because there weren't a lot of details about it, and so it probably didn't seem very interesting to Andrew or anyone else at the time. But now, this story is developing. It's emerging. Things
details
are happening
have come to light.
Story, okay, more and more details are coming out, and I feel that it is now worthy of spending a little time on, which is an Australian woman. Poisoned the shit out of her ex-husband's whole family and killed a bunch of them. And this story is crazy as hell. Okay. So, first of all, I don't even know where to start or end with this story because it's so weird. But on Thanksgiving, a different meal because this happened actually a couple weeks ago.
Thanksgiving. Thoink.
Cheers,
Cuntsgiving.
Say, don't they have Thanksgiving on a different day?
I don't know what they do in Australia.
Because I know Canada. Yeah.
I'm sure it's racist, but it's probably in just a slightly different way.
Ooh, damn.
So they were having a... So she hosted a some type of family holiday meal type thing.
Yeah.
At the last minute, her ex-husband bowed out. However, several of his family members still attended.
That's nice.
afterwards, four of them fell ill. His parents, his sister, and his sister's husband all fell very violently ill. And three of them passed away, all but the sister's husband, in the hospital. They had been poisoned by eating poisonous mushrooms. Now, at the time when this originally happened, it seemed as though this might have been an accident. This happens, unfortunately. People harvest the wrong mushrooms, they feed them to somebody, and then something bad happens.
The worst we get always says, don't be eating shit out of the woods.
Yeah, you got to identify your mushrooms. Usually, most poisonous mushrooms won't kill you, but it's always unpleasant. And the worst of them definitely can kill you. In particular, the mushrooms that these guys ate, which are called death caps.
I've harvested those in like Skyrim. So,
yeah, folks, if you are considering eating something called that has the word death in it, I'm going to just stop you right there. It's probably not good for you. But
so
we're not doctors.
So it seemed as though this might have just been an accident at first. However, once it emerged that these were death caps, it was already suspicious because they don't look like something you should eat. Like, they have that name for a reason.
They're the shape of a skull.
They're like a malicious and evil looking mushroom. Okay, first of all. Second of all, the woman claimed that she had purchased these mushrooms from a grocery store, but that wouldn't make sense because they were clearly local to like her area, you know? So then the story started to get more suspicious. And, you know, she claims that she also fell ill, but there's not like a total proof of if that really happened yet. Her children were mysteriously totally fine. Then things really get interesting because, okay, the ex-husband bowed out of this dinner because he had just gotten over from suffering from a months-long mysterious stomach illness.
Huh.
Okay. So now, just recently, she's been charged with not just murder and attempted murder for the people that were at her house, but now she's been charged with trying to murder her ex-husband four times with four separate meals stretching back to 2021.
Were they all mushroom-based?
I don't know. Okay. But like I know that, like I said, he had been suffering from a mysterious and very serious stomach illness for months after a previous meal that he ate with her in July. And so he bowed out of this meal because of that, which leads me to wonder, though, like, if you were starting to have some kind of suspicion that she poisoned you, did you not think you should tell anybody else about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe your children, first of all.
Hey, mom and dad, I think my ex was poisoning me, so maybe don't go to her place for Australian Thanksgiving, which is just, it's Thanksgiving, but it flushes the opposite way.
I'm on like really good terms, like as good as you can be with my ex-spouse, and I would not invite him to like eat a meal that he cooked for me.
Would
just
you?
Just because he cooks like shit.
I could not think of any exes that I would just invite their parents over without them being there also. That's like one of the most deranged things I've ever heard, right?
The only thing I can think of,
what if there was a million
that...
white people on a train?
No, but like the kids were there. So like their grandkids would have been there. That's the only thing I can think of
that
would make
sense,
it
yeah.
less weird, but still okay, it's fucking weird. I don't like any of this. And also as a feminist, I don't know if I'm supposed to be supporting her.
I am. Wait, is she hot? Let's move on. okay. So
that was actually my last story, was just this woman has been trying to kill her ex-husband for years.
Wrong kid died. Wrong parent died. Yeah, whatever.
And I don't know. It's just going to be wild watching this court case go down. I'm not that much of a true crime person, watching all the horrible stories unfold type of person all the time. But this one, I sort of can't resist the sort of something about it. I don't know.
Yeah, it feels like it was plucked from like 200 years ago.
Yeah, this is some Game of Thrones type of shit, but just really happened in like modern day Australia.
Yeah, and unlike Game of Thrones, instead of there being a kingdom at stake, there's nothing at stake. you shouldn't have done this.
Yeah, she could have just not talked to him, but okay, yeah. Okay.
Well, there was a long time dispute over who gets to keep the cat, and honestly, knowing that, I support her decision.
Wow.
You do whatever it takes to keep your kitty.
That was bold.
Listeners, I am really not doing well. We've got one more story. It's our main story this week.
What?
And as we alluded to early in the episode, we are circling back, and we have one question to ask. And it is, what the fuck, Joe Biden? So this week, a couple things. First of all, Joe Biden celebrated his 81st birthday. And in honor of that, he released the most fucking unhinged picture of a man with a cake I've ever seen in my fucking life. He looked like he was entering hyperspace. He was like gripping either side of the table. He was smiling in a way that I'm like, did they have to pin his face like that? He looked fucking insane. And it's like, cool, this is who I want in charge.
That cake, she put her whole pussy in it.
What? Say that again? It glitched a sec.
Joe Biden baked that cake and she put her whole pussy in it.
Oh,
know?
Okay,
so.
Okay. He was like, hey, Jake, it put her whole pussy in it. I was like, what?
I was fine with it. I liked it the way that it
was. Worked, you know? Gravy, leave that in. Leave that in.
Yeah.
What else?
No, that bit was better before you had me explain it. Now it just sucks, honestly.
81 years old.
Yeah,
how
you know,
is he not dead?
Well, here's the thing: bad people tend to not die. Only the good die young. It's just like that one Linkin Park song.
Yeah.
This week, the Biden administration they made a move to lift nearly all restrictions on Israel's access to the United States weapons stockpile. Now, this one, I don't really understand fully what it means, but I did see some like national security guys that were saying shit like, if there's no restrictions, they could take so much from us that it would leave us vulnerable, because our army would be our stockpile could be so depleted that we would not be able to defend ourselves. And I'm like, here's the thing. That doesn't sound right, but also like the kind of national security people who this was coming from, like, this isn't people that would be like, this is people who would be like, no, we need to support Israel no matter what. So for them to be like, this is actually too far, that's not good. Like, you know what I mean? I don't really fully understand it, but it's like,
if these
guys are worried about it, that's not a good sign. I don't think. Maybe. I don't fucking know. And finally, our last moment of what the fuck, Joe Biden. He was giving a speech early this week where he was talking about the situation in Israel. And he said, this is a direct quote, "I cannot prove what I'm about to say, but I believe one of the reasons why Hamas struck when they did was they knew I was working very closely with the Saudis to bring peace to the region." End quote. Now,
wow.
Joe Biden was like, I can't prove it, but Hamas just did this because they knew I was about to fix the Middle East.
this sounds like an Elon Musk thing.
It really does. It was like, I was
like, hey, I can't prove this, but just so you know, I've been working behind the scenes to get those kids out of the cave with a special submarine I designed.
Well, here's the thing is that there is, and I will say, like, there's a bit of truth to this, that, like, you know, one of the things that Biden's been working on is, you know, getting the Israel and the Saudis to like reach some kind of agreement to like make it a little bit more peaceful over there. But the thing is that like that agreement that they were working on was at the expense of everybody not involved, like Yemen and the Palestinians. Like it was peace for the people that we care about and fucking continuation of bloodshed for everybody else. So like for him to be like, essentially be like, I almost fixed the Middle East is fucking crazy, because it wasn't going to be fixed for half the fucking people that live there. Just the ones that we care about what they think or whatever. It's what the fuck, Joe Biden?
What the fuck, Joe Biden?
Angela?
What the fuck, Joe Biden?
There you go.
Why did I say it with that inflection?
I don't know. It just was
but
like you sounded like you just heard about Joe Biden for the first time today.
What who the fuck is this guy?
Biden?
I don't know who this guy is, but it sounds like he's been up to no good. The last thing I'll say is I don't know. I think we talked about it a little bit last week, but I mean it's a long way until the next election. But don't let anybody tell you that you have to fucking vote for Joe Biden. Like. The lesser of two evils argument when both people are just totally fine with a genocide happening, it's okay for you to say, that's too fucking much for me. Like, if your red line is, I'm not going to fucking vote for a guy who's endorsing a genocide, even if that means that something worse happens, like, if that's your red line, that's fucking okay. Like, you do not have to fucking do that. And people that are trying to bully you, you know, 350 days from the election into doing something you don't want to do, fuck them.
Okay. First of all, can I just say, liberals, lay the fuck off until like August or something.
Yeah.
Like,
seriously.
Jesus Christ, the last election just got finished fucking figuring out which city council candidates weren't supported by Moms for Liberty and all this shit, detangling that web. All right. And like now you're like, hey, there's an election coming up in a year. I'm like, I fucking know. All right.
Also, if the Democrats think that beating Donald Trump is that important, why are you fucking running Joe Biden? Fuck you. You don't actually care. You just want to fucking bully us again. Fuck you.
Also, if you don't vote,
totally agree.
No one will know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you have to tell them.
3D
them
print
know.
A I voted sticker.
Yeah. Or just like.
Or actually 2D print
fucking
one.
Everywhere. Yeah. Like it's fine.
Yeah. We should get stickers made that say I voted with an asterisk on it.
Gay 9/11. I voted.
I mean, I am going to vote, but I will be writing in
actually,
Commander Biden.
Let's make some kind of parody I voted sticker for the podcast. Let's do that.
Hell yeah.
I
just with quotes
it,
around it, I image. Voted.
maybe we could do a version of I made an image where I had a shiv and it is labeled ballot. And a picture of Derek Chauvin labeled ballot box. The most important election of our lifetime, folks.
Hell yeah. Well, Kennedy, thank you for being here. Angela, thank you as well. Do you want to plug anything? Do you want people to find you, follow you, anything like that?
I don't
want
anyone to find me
or
follow me. So, no, I have nothing to plug.
Okay. Well, Kennedy, how about you? Anything going on over in the world of Kennedy?
Probably.
Hell yeah. Of course, you can support the show by going to patreon.com/worstweekyet. You can, you know, find us, follow us, come see me do jokes if I don't fucking die in the meantime. That's ominous. And more important than, I would say, all of that bullshit, tune in again next week for more bad news.